Then Peter and all of the circumcised believers were astounded that the Holy Spirit had come upon even the Gentiles. The Holy Spirit is at it again. If you were here last week, we were in the 8th chapter of Acts, where the believer Philip encountered a man from Ethiopia. And lo and behold, the Holy Spirit guided their conversation, and suddenly this stranger from Ethiopia became a believer. And the church grew and included someone unexpected. And here we are, 2 chapters later, when now even the Gentiles have been filled with the Holy Spirit and are now included in what God is doing in the church. It's hard for us today to wrap our brains around how radical this was, what a huge change this was for those early Christians. One of the ways we can really get into this story and explore what a huge deal it was is to look at it through the eyes of Peter. Now, if you've been in church for a while, you've probably heard of Simon Peter. He was one of Jesus' 12 disciples who traveled with Jesus all throughout his ministry in Galilee. He often got it right, but usually got it wrong. He was very impulsive. But after the resurrection of Jesus and after the day of Pentecost, when the believers of Christ were filled with the Holy Spirit, it was Peter who rose to lead the church in Jerusalem. He'd spent most of his ministry so far among the Jewish people in Jerusalem, preaching and teaching about Jesus of Nazareth and how he was the Messiah they had been waiting for. And most, if not all, of the Christians that he knew at that point had come out of the Jewish faith. But in the 10th chapter of Acts, he gets called out of Jerusalem and visits a couple of small towns on the coast, where again he gathers and teaches among the Jews of those towns. And one afternoon, he's sitting on top of the roof of the house that is hosting him, and he's deep in prayer, and he has a vision. In that vision, God shows to Peter all the animals of the earth. And a voice says to Peter, "Rise up, Peter, kill and eat." And that is a huge moment for Peter. Because among these animals that he's seeing in this vision are unclean animals. Animals that it's been made very clear in the Holy Scriptures, in the Torah, that he should not eat. He shouldn't eat pork. He shouldn't eat shrimp and shellfish and all of those things that are very clearly laid out in the Scriptures. And so Peter says to God, "By no means, Lord. For nothing unclean has ever passed through my lips." And then God says to Peter, "What I have declared clean, you shall not declare profane." Do you feel the tectonic shift in that? Everything that Peter has learned and been taught and practiced in his life is now being challenged by the voice of God. The way that Peter had always understood that you live out your relationship with God, that you live out the covenant with God, was to keep those laws of purity, to keep himself pure by not eating unclean foods and by not interacting with unclean people, the Gentiles. It was forbidden for a Jewish person to enter into the house of a Gentile and to sit down at the table and share a meal with the Gentiles. You would never do that. But Peter has had this vision now, and God has said, "I have declared all of this now clean." And he's trying to figure out what God is up to and what this vision is all about when 3 messengers knock on the door. And they say to Peter, "There's a Roman soldier named Cornelius. He lives in Caesarea, and he's been told by God to send for you." So now here is a Gentile, an unclean person who is inviting Peter to come to his house. and Peter has to make a decision. Luckily, the Spirit whispers in Peter's ear and says, "Go." So Peter goes, and he steps over the threshold of the house of Cornelius, a line he would have never crossed before, but a line that the Holy Spirit has drawn him to cross over. And Cornelius has gathered his family, his whole household, and friends and acquaintances from the city. And he says to Peter, "God told us to be here and to listen to whatever you say." Well, what else is Peter supposed to do? And so he begins to preach. And he tells them about Jesus. And he's still talking when in the middle of his sermon, the Holy Spirit interrupts and fills all of the Gentiles, and they start praising God and speaking in tongues. And Peter's never preached a sermon like that before. And so he and those who came with him are astounded at what the Holy Spirit is doing. And Peter says to his companions, "We've got to baptize these people, because the Holy Spirit has come upon them just as the Holy Spirit has come upon us." What a journey Peter has been on in chapter 10 of the book of Acts. His whole understanding of how God works and what God is up to has turned 180 degrees. And thank God that Peter was able to be open to God doing a new thing. That Peter wasn't going to hold God hostage to the scriptures he had always known. That he was ready to accept and hear that God was up to something new, and including people that Peter would never have thought acceptable to God before. So the question is God doing a new thing? Has God changed God's mind? I'm not so sure about that. God has changed Peter's mind. God has changed the mind of those early Jewish Christians so that they might welcome the Gentiles of other nations. But I think if we go all the way back to the beginning of the story, that's been God's plan all along. If we look at chapter 12 of Genesis, when God first calls Abraham and Sarah, and God says to Abraham and Sarah, "I will make of you a special nation, a chosen people. You will have a special purpose in my plan. And your descendants I will shape, and I will teach them, and I will guide them. And through you, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." God's plan all along has been, I believe, to include all nations, to include all people. And over time, that revelation became clear through Jesus Christ, and in the giving of the Holy Spirit, the church began to open up wider and wider and wider. This is a story that invites us to self-reflection and to ask in what ways we might be like Peter, in what ways the Holy Spirit might want to take us on a journey of expanding our understanding of how God works and who God works through. We have a tendency as human beings to want to get to that moment where we can say, okay, now I know how God works. I got the parameters now. As some people say, we got God in a box. And for some of us, this is our box. As if when the ink finally dried on the book of Revelation, God was finished doing new things. Peter thought that was true. And yet the Holy Spirit invited him to consider that God might do things in new ways and through new people. I can think of my own life, of times and ways that God has broadened my understanding of how God works. I'm sure you can think of those examples too. But it's Communion Sunday, and I'm not going to talk that long. But as the people of God, the invitation to us is to have our hearts, our minds, our lives ever open to the work of the Holy Spirit, that we might still find God can surprise us. Thanks be to God.